You got your Bibles, if you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke in the 10th chapter, Luke chapter 10. I'll give you a thought tonight. I'd ask this question before we read the scriptures. How many of you either have been going through something, are in the middle of something right now, or it's possible you will be going through something? And in these times that as Christians, when we go through these valleys, trials, temptations, testing, we looked in the first chapter of the book of James in the prayer room, and ask you a question. Calvary will tell you I'm full of questions. How then, Brother Clay, we look at the news and the economy and the elections and all the things in the Middle East and everything that's going on, and we take all this in and we ask ourselves, how can we rejoice? How can we rejoice in the very midst of the times of which we live? I believe I can take the words of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, and He'll show us how we can. Luke chapter number 10, just going to read three verses, beginning with verse number 17. The Bible says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Again, we live in these difficult days. There's troubles and trials on every hand. It seems like, as a child of God, it's easy to forget about Romans 8:28, isn't it? It's hard to digest Romans 8:28 when all the things are going on that can come into our lives. It's easy to get defeated and discouraged, and quite honestly, it's easy for folks to lose their shout. Would you agree with me this evening? And so I want to look at this text for just a minute. Now, these disciples, they've been out. They've been preaching, they've been ministering in the name of the Lord, and they've seen some awfully powerful things that's took place. And the Bible teaches us that even the demonic spirits were helpless against them. It even says they cast them out. And they're so overjoyed, so thrilled, that they come to Jesus, and guess what? When they come to Christ, they are just having them a spell. They're having them a time. And you know what? Right in the midst of that, when they come back and they're so excited, Christ tells them the true reason for rejoicing. Well, what is that tonight? Well, He tells them that salvation is the best thing and the best catalyst, if I can use that word, for true rejoicing. Salvation, it almost seems too simple, doesn't it, tonight? Doesn't it seem too simple? Just salvation. But you know what? I'm glad He said it that way. Because guess what? I've never cast a demon out. Chances are most of you in this room never have, nor will we. But Christ fixed this thing that, guess what? That we would be able to rejoice. And this rejoicing that He's speaking of is within the grasp of every child of God that's in this sanctuary tonight. Can I say this? If you're not saved tonight, my little old message ain't a whole lot, ain't gonna mean nothing to you. But I got good news for you. You can leave different than you come in. Why we can rejoice. The only thing, listen to me, the only thing necessary in our lives for rejoicing is the fact that you know that your name has been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Brother Darren said it, you know. Sometimes we lose sight of the cross of Calvary and of Jesus, and we get sidetracked somewhat. But I'll tell you something. Listen to me. If you and I could get a hold of the very fact of what He done and where we deserve to be, amen, which is in a devil's hell, we'd tear the roof off this place tonight. Amen. Then our names are written in heaven. Amen. That's exactly right. Tell you what. He's worthy. He's worthy of being praised tonight. So I want to tell you something, a few thoughts here on why every born-again person in this sanctuary has reason to rejoice. Why can we rejoice, Brother Shane? Number one, because of eternal salvation. That's why. Now watch this. Within this thing called salvation, there's a relationship that's established. It's created and it is established. At the very instant of conversion, there is a new relationship that is formed. That person becomes a new creature in Christ. They have a heavenly Father. Isn't that something? There's a special relationship. I will be reading some scriptures to you tonight. 1 John 3:1-2 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God." That's present tense. "Now are we the sons of God." Watch this. "Well, glory to God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Isn't that comforting? That's what happens, huh? That's a promise when this new relationship is formed at the very instant of conversion. Now watch this. Within this relationship, there's two things I want to show you that happens. Number one, there's an adoption that takes place. There's an adoption. Galatians 4:4-6 says this. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Now that word adoption here in the scriptures, it's a Greek word, and it means to place as a son. Now watch this. When placed as a son, when adopted, that adopted son was adopted permanently. He couldn't be adopted today and disinherited tomorrow. Kind of blows that losing your salvation thing out. Can I get an amen? He became a son of the Father forever. He was eternally secure as a son. Secondly, the adopted son, watch this, oh, it gets better. The adopted son immediately had all the rights of a legitimate son in the new family. He's adopted, but he's got the same rights, Brother Clay. Isn't that something? And watch this. This is really good. The adopted son completely lost all rights in his old family. You get a hold of that? My old family, my sin past. Glory to God, I'm glad for that, huh? The adopted son was looked upon as a new person. Watch this. So that all the old debts and obligations connected with his former family were canceled and abolished. Just like they never existed. Ain't that good news? Hallelujah for that. So we were adopted. We're adopted as part of this relationship. But watch this, y'all. Not only were we adopted, but we're granted some access. Hebrews 4:14-16 says this, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in a help time and a help of need." Isn't that something? There was an access granted. I've told my church this, and I come out of this church, so I can say this here. I believe in our Baptist churches, right here in Mitchell County, but especially on through our nation, the greatest privilege afforded to the child of God is prayer. And unfortunately and sadly today, it is the least utilized. Wonder why God, we don't have no power with God in our lives and in our churches, and God ain't moving and stirring and saving souls because God's people ain't getting on their knees and praying no more like they used to. Get back to getting on our knees and praying and seeking His face. Because as God's children, we have unlimited and unhindered, watch this, access to the Father. Wow. What does that mean? That means if you got a burden, who has a burden besides me tonight? That means you've got access to take it and lay it at the feet of Jesus and find help for that burden. Find release and relief for that burden. So that's something you can take problems. They sung about it. You can take problems to him. Guess what? He's got solutions. Isn't that a trait, Brother Darren? Isn't that a trait, Tony? I take you my problems, he gives me a solution. Huh? Praise the Lord for that. Where's Dan at? I seen it. Dan, you and I can take him our hurts, and he gives us healing. How about that? Well, glory to God. What a trade. It don't really seem fair, does it? My goodness. So with this relationship, we're adopted and we're granted access. Now watch what else happens when this relationship is created or formed. There's some reconciliation that takes place. Huh? Some reconciliations. Romans 5:10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." There is a reconciliation that takes place. How did that happen? What happens, Brother Shane? Well, the first thing is we are cleansed by Him. We're cleansed. Colossians 2:13 says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Isn't that something? I could take you over there to Ephesians chapter 2 and show you there that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Huh? Praise God that when this reconciliation takes place, there's a cleansing that takes place. Isn't that something? And then not only is there a cleansing, but there's a change. There's a change that takes place. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. How about this? Glory to God. Listen to this. Not only does He take away the past, but He changes your future. That's good news tonight, church, that He not only erased my sinful past, but He changed my future. Thank God for that. I'll say this, everything changes when you come to Jesus. If you're sitting here tonight, and I say this with all love in my heart, but if you're sitting here tonight and you're claiming and wearing that banner that you're a Christian and things hadn't changed in your life, you might all check up, because the devil might have sold you a counterfeit. I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God, when He touches you and when He saves you and when you have the blood applied to your heart, things change. Your talk's not the talk and your walk's not the same. Amen, Brother Matt. Hey, it worked with me. Watch this though, church. This is wonderful. With this new relationship that's formed, now I'm talking about why we can rejoice. Huh? Why we can rejoice. Watch this. There's a reward. Romans 8:16-17 says this. "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, you can rejoice tonight if you're saved, because there is a reward. 1 Peter 1:3-4 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away." Watch this. "Reserved in heaven for you." Reserved. Wow. And I believe that really with our finite human minds, we can't put our minds around grasping all that God has as rewards for us. Isn't that something? Watch this. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Wow. I sure am looking forward to going and seeing. Ain't you? One day I will. Glory to God for that. Ain't that something? I want to say a few words here. It was Jesus was all Jesus. It was Jesus that died. Huh? It was Jesus that died. It was Jesus that was buried. It was Jesus that rose again. It was Jesus that ascended. It was Jesus on March, glory to God, the 28th, right here at the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, that passed my way, amen, that left the 99 to find me. It was Jesus. And it's all about Jesus. Brother Darren, I've told our little church up there at Calvary, all I care about us being is a Jesus church. If folks come up and down the road and they look over yonder and they say, there's a bunch of people that just love Jesus, I say glory to God for that. And that's all that matters. Woo. How about this, Darren? I've got this road in here. I had no idea that Darren was going to call this the harvest time. You know, I didn't know that, Brother Clay. But I thought about when God, as unworthy as I am, when he called me to preach, then he called us to preach, Clay, and he equipped us to serve. He gave us what we need. He provided for us, didn't he? You know what? God, he's the one that controls that harvest, isn't he? All I can do is preach and tell him about it. I can't do nothing to control the harvest. Boy, I'm glad he's in control. And you know what? He's the one that's going to reward us one of these days. It ain't no wonder we're going to lay crowns down at his feet and praise his name. You can find that in Revelation chapter 4. What a day that's going to be. Watch this now. Watch this. There's some rewards, but there's a rescue. You say, I've done been rescued when he saved me. Yes, in a sense you have. But I'm talking about another rescue. I'm talking about a time when those whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life are going to be taken out of this world. It don't really sound like a rescue, but listen to me. Things ain't looking too good on planet Earth right now, are they? Just heard the call to the church. Sure ain't no time to lay down. Can I scotch you, Brother Clay? A rescue. A lot of things. I won't get into it for sake of time. About the doctrine of the rapture. I believe I could, in just a few moments from the scriptures, I could prove that to be true. 1 Corinthians 15 and Thessalonians 2. I could prove that to you. But there's a time, amen, that there's going to come a rescue. But guess what? I thought about this. Brother Dan, I thought about this when we were in Mama's bedroom Thursday night. That was a time of rescue. Amen, Dan, that was a time of rescue. And I know we may not look at death as a time of rescue, but I'll tell you something. It's just a vehicle, amen, for the child of God to be carried on to glory in the presence of Jesus. And I thank God for a time of rescuing. Isn't that something? Watch this now. Okay, get back. So why can you rejoice tonight? Why can I rejoice tonight? I mean, we'll have my mother's service here tomorrow evening. How could I get up here on Sunday night and rejoice? Because I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's so simplistic that it almost goes over our head. And we're so gospel hardened sometimes, church, that it goes in one ear and out the other. And we wonder why we can't rejoice. The youth choir's got to sing some good song, or the preacher's got to do something. There's got to be something supernatural take place. Glory to God. If your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that'll be good enough tonight. Eternal security. That's why you can rejoice tonight. Huh? That means I'm right there. Glory to God, I'm right there. Brother Dan, that means my mama was right there in the palm of his holy hand. Amen. Thursday evening. Praise God for that. Eternal security. Now I want to show you something right here. I want you to look with me and I'll be about done. Look right here in verse 20, would you? Look at the scriptures. It says, notwithstanding in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now watch this. Watch this. Not just good enough that we can rejoice that we're saved, but that we're saved forever and ever and ever. Now watch this. The words right here in the scriptures that our Savior spoke when he says are written. Is summer here? Summer. Summer, correct me if I'm wrong, but study this out. The words are written. It's a verb, and the verb is in the perfect passive indicative. That's way over my head. I studied that. Now, it may not mean much to us, but listen, it will in just a minute when I explain it. The literal sense of this verb is this: your name is written and shall be written and stands written. Did you get that? The perfect tense refers to an action completed, and watch, it has ongoing results into the future. And the passive voice reminds us that the subject is being acted upon by another. Watch this. The indicative mood is merely a statement of fact. If you put this all together, we'll realize that some point in the past, God's seen your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that action carries right on in to heaven forever and ever and ever. Isn't that something? I'm glad my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight. And he made us a promise in Revelation 3:5. He says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the Book of Life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Worthy of that. I'm undeserving of that. Eternal security. Blessed assurance. Wonderful peace. Now watch this. There's another thing to this, and it's called eternal satisfaction. Not just eternal security. That's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, that's great. We've got eternal salvation. It's eternal. We're eternally secure forever and ever and ever. Watch this. The Lord don't stop there. Eternal satisfaction, what does that mean? All right? If being saved and if being eternally secure is not enough to bring every single person to the very point of praise this evening, then perhaps the thought of heaven would do it for you. Why? Well, because, you listen to me. Glory to God, listen to me this evening. Your name, either being written in the Lamb's Book of Life or not, is the very difference between spending eternity in heaven or spending an eternity in hell. That's the difference, amen. I'll just put her plain to you. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life this evening? Who can I tell you, like I tell my church, have you got a place? Huh, have you got a place? Can you take your mind back? Preacher, I've heard you said that. You still doing that? Yep, I'll still do it. The Lord takes my last breath. Because God gives you that. He gives you that place. No, preacher, I just turned a new leaf. I thought I wanted to start doing better. You didn't get it? Huh? Talking about your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, y'all. We talked in our Sunday school class this morning. Goodness gracious. Huh. And I told them in there in the Sunday school class, I said, as preachers, you don't want to make people doubt. That's the last thing you want make people do. But at the same time, you know, there's this fine line, Brother Darren. You want to make sure that you know that you know that you know that your name's written up there. How can you say that, preacher? Because I said in the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, I sung in the choir, I taught Awana, I played the play and the part, amen, and was lost. That's why I'm preaching, amen, and the Holy Ghost gives me utterance to. Don't you play games with God. You better know what your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now that word written, it means to enroll as a citizen. To enroll as a citizen. That means, watch this, when your name was recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, you were enrolled as a citizen of heaven. Isn't that good? address. It says 166 Gay Lakes Trail, Spruce Pine, North Carolina 28777, but it's wrong. It's temporal. He's a forwarding address. Show glory to God for that. And it's glory, amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. That means that heaven's going to be ours one day. Oh, what a day that's going to be. I'm looking forward to going, aren't you? Let me say a few things and I'll hurry and close about this place called heaven. I call it home. The Bible says it's a place of no tears. No tears. No death. Or just take off and run a lap. Or just take off and run a gourd of God. Or just run a lap because it's a place ain't going to be no death. Well, hallelujah, the Lamb of God forever. Woo! Amen. Thank you, God, for that. I'll run that for Mama. Be a place there won't be no sorrow, no drooping or pining, no pain, no sin. Can I share something personal with you? I even shared this with Darren. When we were in there at my dear mama's bedside, and I was watching her, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "Son, I know what you're going through. You know, I ain't experiencing nothing I ain't. I watched my son suffer and bleed and die and bear all the sins of the world, even for those who would reject him on a cross at Calvary." And I got to thinking as I was standing there, do you know what? I'm glad there won't be no sin there, because sin, and I wonder why we ought to preach against sin, boys. Where you at? But you want to know why we ought to preach against sin? It was sin that got us in this place to begin with. All right, man, we ought to preach against sin. There'll be no sin there. Hallelujah for that. And there'll be no sinners. Right? You know, them that persecute you, them we was talking about that hate you, revile us, they won't be there. There'll be no temple. There won't be a Calvary, a Bethel, a powder mill. Huh? Won't be no sun. No S-U-N. S-O-N. He'll be the light. And then there won't be no curse. Thank God for that. Isn't that wonderful? What's this, though? There will be some things there according to the scriptures. Huh? God says he'll be with his people. Revelation 21:3. He says he will be with his people. Huh? The Lamb will be with us. Be a place of jasper walls, pearly gates, golden street. Guess what else? The redeemed will be there. Shoo. Huh? Your dear daddy's going to be there. How many of you lost loved ones that went home to be with Christ? Hey, the redeemed of the ages is going to be there. Hey, glory to God, that's a blessing me. And guess what? Get this. When that glad day comes, that first day of forever, all the holy angels, they're going to have to part. Huh? They're going to have to part. And the redeemed, us who are unworthy, but who have been made worthy by the blood of the Lamb, are going to be able to come together and lift our voices in one accord. And with praise in unison, we're going to get to shout and sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." Amen. Glory to God for that. I'm talking about rejoicing tonight, church, because your name's written in the Lamb's book of life. That's what I'm talking about. And then think about this. Think about this. And I'm done. I can only handle so much down here, Brent. My body, and I get so full, and Clay will tell you, I get so full, I'm about to pop my church. God, I love my church. And I get just a fool. Dennis, I just bubbling up and can't control it. And that's what I call it, the can't help it. You know, just get a case of can't help it. But when we get there, we're going to be able to bask and experience, because we've got a glorified body like unto his. I read that to you. The glory of God. Boy, and I don't know what that's going to feel like, but I'm looking forward to that. And I'm going to be able to handle it. And here I say this. Say this. You might not want to be around me when we get up there, but I'll say this. You say, well, preacher, I've never shouted. I'm not into that raising my hand and stuff. And that's fine if you're not. If you're not, that's fine. We're all different. I know that. But guess what? Just got a little inkling that when you get over there and you get that glorified body and you get to see Him, huh? You get to behold Him who gave all, huh? Oh, glory to God, I've got a good feeling. Hey, you might get a good case of the gain habits. I'm just practicing now, okay? And lastly, you know, that's home. That's going to be home for us, and that's a mighty long time. And again, my little old mind can't wrap around it, but it's going to be the first day of forever. Won't it be wonderful there? My prayer tonight is that you're saved. And that you know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if it isn't, you know what? I can't think of a better time than right here at the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church to just say, you know what? Lord, you got me here. I'm just going to run up the white flag. Oh, here I come, Lord. Just ask Jesus to save you. And you know what? He'll do just that. Isn't that something? One challenge question and I'm done. Would you agree with me then tonight that we that are saved and born again, we got a lot of reasons to rejoice, even in the midst of heartache, valleys, and troubles, and trials, and tribulations? We still got a lot of reasons that we can rejoice, huh? Well, here's the question for you. Is there some in here that's been guilty of holding back and not giving the Lord on this side of eternity the praise and honor that He's worthy of and that He deserves? Huh? I believe that if we're saved, that we'll act like we're saved. Huh? We'll rejoice simply in Him. Just rejoice in Him. So the Lord's give us a lot of reasons that we can rejoice tonight. But if we'll just break it all down. Brother Allen, come and see me this afternoon. Darren, this is what he said. He said, the root. I said, the source. He said, yeah, preacher. It's Jesus. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It is. You got cause to rejoice tonight.